WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present The Enemies Within with host Trevor Loudon. Trevor is an author, filmmaker, and public speaker. Trevor was born and raised in New Zealand, but now resides in the United States of America. For more than 30 years, Trevor has researched the radical left, socialism, communism, and Marxism, as well as terrorist movements and organizations. Trevor is the author of several books and the producer of several documentaries. And now, WVW-TV presents Trevor Loudon.
Hi, welcome to another edition of Enemies Within with Trevor Loudon. I've returned from some travels. I've been to New Zealand, I've been to Michigan, Minnesota, California. I'm finally back at home. I'm a little more organized in my life right now. Today, I want to answer the question, or my take on the question, should Christians be fighting? Should Christians even be involved in politics? Should Christians be trying to stop the growing New World Order and the Marxist revolution that's consuming everything around us? Is it a Christian's duty, or is it really all in God's hands and Christians should do nothing and let this roll over them? So we'll talk about this question straight after this break. Thanks.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to thank you for watching Trevor Loudon's show. And I want to invite you to support Trevor's work by going to trevorloudon.com and checking out Trevor's excellent books. Let me show you some of his books. Here they are, Security Risk Senators. It took 2 volumes to get this done. These are highly documented. Security Risk Senators, Part 1, Arizona to Massachusetts, Part 2, Michigan to Virginia. I interviewed Trevor for several hours on these books when they came out. They're a must for everybody's library. Enemies Within. This is a DVD. You should indeed have this in your library as well. This book, White House Reds, Communist, Socialist, and Security Risk Running for U.S. President in 2020. You may say, wait a minute, that's 2020, that's a dated book. Actually, it's not, because the individuals being discussed are still around today and in government and endeavoring to run for office. This is a historical book. This book, White House Reds, gives you the historical background of many of the communist and socialist front groups in America today and many of the candidates, well, that ran for president but are still around today. So this book is very relevant. The Enemies Within movie. Then we have Burn This Book, Barack Obama and the Enemies Within. These are some of Trevor's excellent resources. Not only should these be a part of your library and that of your family and friends, but this is also a great way to support the work of Trevor Loudon. So everybody wins. You get great books and resources, and you're supporting Trevor Loudon so he can keep this TV show going. So please, go to trevorloudon.com right now. trevorloudon.com right now. Make your purchases and share this website with your family and friends. Thank you.
Well, thanks very much, Brandon. Well, let's address this question. I've been traveling around a lot. I've just been up in Minnesota and Michigan. I've spoken to some churches, though largely Christian audiences, though not exclusively. And this is the kind of things I'm always getting. You know, how do we get the pastors involved? Why aren't the pastors involved in saving America? Why are the pastors doing nothing? How do we get the people in the churches motivated? Well, here's my harsh response. If a pastor has gone through the last 5 years and can't see there is a problem and doesn't see they have a responsibility to do something about it, they shouldn't be a pastor. Seriously. And if you're in a church led by such a pastor, you need to sit them down and really lay it on him that his job is to lead. His job is not just to preach the gospel, it is to teach the people to lead a gospel life. And that includes defense, that includes security, that includes bringing people together to look after each other in future hard times. All of it. If your pastor doesn't have a plan for what happens when China attacks America, he's not a pastor. Simple. A pastor is a shepherd. A shepherd carries a big crook, and that crook has a hook for disciplining the flock, and it is used to beat away the wolves. Can anybody tell me there's no wolves out there after our kids, after our businesses, after our communities, after our freedoms, after our religious liberties? Can anybody tell me that with a straight face? And so if your pastor, your supposed spiritual leader, is not confronting any of those issues or dealing with them, they're not being a pastor. Simple as that. So why do I say such things? Well, there's a verse in the book, verse in the end of the book, in the book of Revelations, about all the people who go to hell at the end of time. And there's categories of people given, and it's, you know, there are idolaters and murderers and thieves. And the very first group are the cowards. The very first group. See, cowardice is not just a moral failing. Cowardice is a sin. Because as the Catholics say, you know, the greatest sin is the sin of despair. Those who have no faith. Well, a coward has no faith. Because if you really believe in eternity and you believe, if you believe in heaven, if you believe in eternal life, you'll fear nothing on this earth. If you really, really believe those things, you won't care about the county commission. You won't care about being unpopular. You won't care about the IRS coming after your wealth. You won't care about any of that sort of stuff, because none of that's going to matter in 100 years. And eternity is a lot longer than 100 years. So there's right there. Cowardice is a sin. Cowards go to hell. Because cowards have no faith. They believe in nothing beyond their own sorry lives, their own little possessions that they may have, their own stature, their own little ego trips. That's all they have. And they'll compromise anything and betray anybody to keep what they have, because they see nothing bigger. They have faith in nothing bigger than themselves. Am I wrong on this? Well, we see this time and time again in the Old Testament, you know, David versus Goliath. You know, David, with a bit of string and a rock, takes on this hulking giant. Well, how much courage would you need for that, people, to do that? And where did David's courage come from? Comes from his faith. You know, he understands he is serving God and that his job is to do what God wants him to do. And he may suffer for that. He may be killed for it. But he has enough faith in God to do what he's meant to do. So he has the courage to stand against Goliath. You look at famous story, Gideon's army, you know. Gideon's negotiating with God. I'll need these many people to face the horde. I mean, these many people. And God just keeps pushing them down to the point he has 300 against his mighty horde. So what is the lesson there? It is not the numbers that counts. It is a faithful and courageous minority that will win the day. The key points are there. It is faith and courage. Faith and courage go together. You get your courage from your faith. If your pastor, how do you tell if your pastor is a faithful pastor? Is he a courageous pastor? Is he willing to take on civil authorities? Is he willing to speak the truth no matter what it costs him in terms of popularity? Is he willing to speak the truth despite the fact that he may lose some people from his flock, and that might put him in a financially compromised position with the mortgage on the church, his personal salary, etc.? What, you know, if he's a real faithful pastor, those will all be minor considerations. The real consideration is he preaching the word? Is he preaching God's word? Is he doing what he should be doing? Is he leading his people in faith and courage? If he's not doing those things, why would you go to his church? Why would you waste your time on such a weak character? Because, you know, and the argument out there with many pastors and many Christians is, well, it's all in God's hands. You know, they see the world deteriorating, they see World War III looming, if they're even willing to confront that reality. They see the Marxism that's invading America, everything from transgenderism to the destruction of the military, to the open borders. They see all these things. And as well, it's in God's hands. And some of them, the worse things get, the happier they are, because they believe that means Jesus is just around the corner. Well, we are told to occupy till he comes. No one knows when Jesus will return. Jesus didn't know when Jesus will return. So, you know, on that basis, if you say, well, I'm not going to do anything because, you know, it's all in God's hands. Jesus is coming back soon. So therefore, I shouldn't do anything. Well, at what point do you stop paying your mortgage? At what point do you stop mowing your lawn? At what point do you stop changing your underwear? Are there any points where you stop carrying out the basic duties of life because you believe the world is going to end soon, and by actually trying to make things better, that you're actually confounding God, that somehow God wants this place to turn into complete chaos because that is going to usher Jesus' return? I think that's a complete misreading. Where does it ever say in any part of the Bible that Christians should abandon their responsibilities to each other, to their church, to their family, and to their civil government? And if you don't believe that civil government is a godly institution, try reading the Old Testament once in a while. It's all about civil government, about wise kings. It's all about national security. It's all about border security. You know, what happened to the Israelites when they neglected to put a wall around their city? There's a big rule there. For right now, we don't have a wall around our southern border or our northern border for that matter, and we are getting invaded. Our country is being destroyed. And it was a duty then to protect your communities, and it's a duty now. You know, those who will not protect their family or look after their family are worse than infidels. Isn't that correct? Worse than infidels, worse than the unfaithful, because they have no faith. You know, you got no faith in God, no faith in anything. You will not even have faith in your own ability to protect your family. So all through the Old Testament, it's all about civic responsibility. It's about constraining evil, opposing evil whenever you get the chance, and standing up. You know, courage is greatly respected. We are supposed to live not in a spirit of fear. That means something. It means that we are supposed to have so much faith in God that we are courageous in the face of any adverse circumstances, that no matter what's coming at us, we still face it with courage because we still have that faith. Am I reading this wrong, people? Where is cowardice glorified in the Bible? Where does it ever say that man should abandon his family to the wolves, that he should abandon his country, that he shouldn't stand up in the face of evil? But you have many pastors and many Christians who'll say, oh no, we should just let it all roll over us. It's all going to roll over us, and it's God's will. Well, if your three-year-old grandchild is drowning in the swimming pool and you're about to dive in, and your pastor says, no, no, it's God's will, let her drown, what would you do? You'd punch your pastor in the face, wouldn't you? And then you'd go and save your grandchild, wouldn't you? And wouldn't that be the right thing to do? Who do you think God would honor more, you or your cowardly, stupid pastor? So if your country is being destroyed in front of your eyes and you want to help, you want to go down to the border and man the border patrols, or you want to get involved in local politics, or you want to run for sheriff, or you want to get on the school board and purge the school board of pornography and filth, you want to do all those things. The pastor says, no, 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 you shouldn't be involved in any of that kind of stuff. Well, tell your pastor to take a hike, because clearly he doesn't know what he's talking about. You should be involved in all those things. It's not even an option. It's a duty. It's a Christian duty to be involved in the governance of your town, on the governance of your city, your state, your country. It's what you're supposed to do as a Christian. It is a duty, not an option. It's a sin not to do those things. It's a sin of cowardice, of lack of faith, and lack of understanding of the providential nature of this country. Can anybody tell me that America is not a special nation? It's here because of divine providence, because this is an example for the rest of the world how a godly nation should run. How a nation built on Christian principles gives its people prosperity and freedom, enables them to build churches and universities and hospitals, to build a great army that can vanquish evil. You imagine had America never been around when World War II started. Imagine the darkness that would have descended on this planet. You know, America is a shining city on the hill, and because it's built on biblical principles. And you've got millions of Christians who say, well, yeah, but we got no obligation to defend it or keep it going. Well, here's my argument. If you're told to love God and thy neighbor as thyself, and your neighbor is starving, and you refuse to share any food with your neighbor, are you really a good Christian? If your city is being threatened by a massive forest fire, and everybody is out there manning the pumps and sending helicopters into the air with monsoon buckets and just trying to get people to safety and trying to protect valuable infrastructure, if everybody's just working their butts off to try and save the city from the fire, but you sit at home and pray all day, don't help, are you really a good Christian? But if you're a nation that is founded on the principles that man's rights come from God, not from government, that as a representative government that comes out of Mosaic law, you know, when Moses was leading the people through the desert, he was getting besieged with complaints and requests all the time. He said, go forth and choose representatives. So if you've got a country that's inspired by a government that's inspired by the Bible, that has done more to spread the gospel around the world than any other, that has saved more people from tyranny than any other, that has built more churches and more hospitals and more schools than any other, if that country is on the verge of destruction and you believe you have zero responsibility for saving it, zero responsibility for maintaining it and handing it on to the next generation, are you really a Christian? It's a serious question, folks, because if you think I'm right here and I'm up for the challenge, you can challenge me on the, you know, send me some comments or talk to me on Facebook, Trevor Loudon. If you think I'm wrong here, let me know. Let me understand what my big misunderstanding is, because I think it's your duty to help your community. It's your duty to help your church. It's your duty to protect your family. And it's your duty as a Christian to protect your nation and to help to govern your nation wisely. It's a duty of stewardship. If people say, well, you know, government's a dirty game and politics is dirty and Christians shouldn't be involved. Well, who told you that? Where is that in the Bible? Tell me one example. One example where Christians should not be involved in the governance of their own nation. This is a left-wing myth. You know, politics and state shouldn't mix. Well, that was a letter written by Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptists, and it was saying was there would never be an enforced state religion in America. It didn't mean you couldn't have a nativity play in your council building. It didn't mean you couldn't open the Senate. meetings with prayer. It couldn't mean you didn't swear an oath on the Bible. It didn't mean any of those things. All it meant was the government would never establish a state church like they had in Europe, where everybody had to be a Lutheran, everybody had to be an Anglican, everybody had to be a Catholic, depending on where you lived. That was never going to happen in America. That's why people fled from Europe so you could actually practice according to your faith there. And we had 13 colonies at the beginning of this nation, all run by different Christian denominations, like Maryland was Catholic, Pennsylvania was Quaker, etc. And they were led by people who had fled Europe largely because of religious persecution. And they stood up when they saw King George coming after their rights, when he was taxing them without representation and all this kind of thing, imposing his will and breaking his compacts with the crown, with the colonies. They knew a state religion was on the way, and they rebelled. And the founding fathers, the most of your military units in the Revolutionary War were led by pastors. The vast majority, almost all of them, were led by pastors because they saw it was their Christian duty to stand up and fight for their religious liberty and to fight for a free America where people could practice their faith, that man's rights came from God and the government could not take those rights away. They saw it as their duty. You imagine, had the pastors of that time been the pastors of today? No, we can't get involved in politics. No, we can't preach politics from the pulpit. No. We are too spiritual for that. Well, your founding fathers were more spiritual, I'm telling you, than most of the pastors today, because they understood the connection between their faith and their politics, their faith and their duty as a leader of their community to take up arms, even if it was necessary to protect their communities. They were way more spiritual than the coffee drink, latte drinking, skinny jeans, wispy bearded, girly pastors that infest many churches today, that would just tell you it's all about love. It's all about love. Well, I don't understand that love has many aspects. And as we know in a family, you know, the feminine love, the love of the mother, is a very valuable thing. You know, the mother will pick you up and bandage your knee and bake you cookies and tell you nursery rhymes and whatever and always accept you. But there's also the love of the father who will beat your little backside, who will boot your little backside if you disrespect your mother, who will take you fishing and hunting and to the woodshed where necessary. That is also love. And there's a lot of that masculine love in the Bible. Jesus didn't go to the money changers and say, oh, let's just have a conference about this. I'm really offended by the fact that you're changing money in the temple. And I think we need to come together and we need to come to some sort of compromise agreement on this in a loving sort of winsome sort of manner. He went in and he threw the darn tables over. He made his point very clear. Jesus was very clear that he came with a sword, not with a rose, a sword. So is it a Christian's responsibility to be involved in politics? Absolutely. It's not a responsibility. It's an obligation. It's an obligation to save your nation. And those who say, well, it's all preordained, it's all going to end at a certain time. Look, Abraham negotiated with God over the fate of Sodom. If I could find 10 righteous men, if I can find 5 righteous men, that proves to me that while God has a plan, that God is flexible depending on our action. Am I wrong in this? That God may modify his time scale depending on how many righteous people there are. And the proof of righteousness in today's world is telling the truth uncompromisingly. That takes a lot of courage in these times, and the courage comes from faith. Telling the truth, standing up, fighting tyranny is proof to God that you really believe, that you really do believe. People can say they believe. The devil believes in God, but real faith will be followed by action. If faith is not followed by action, it is fake faith. It is just empty words. A person who's had a real conversion will change their life. A person who really understands God's purpose for us on this earth will fight for liberty, will fight evil, will fight for their children's future, will stand strong. Men will be men. They will protect their women. Women will be women, and they will stand by their men and look after their children against all threat. That is how we are meant to be, folks. We're not meant to be wimps. We're not meant to be defeatists. We're meant to show faith and courage so that God may look on this earth and say, maybe this earth is worth saving after all. Am I wrong on this? Tell me if you think I'm wrong. I'd love to hear from you, because this is the message that I'm putting out there. Whenever I speak around the country, this is what I'm saying. Tell me now if I'm wrong. Tell me where my knowledge is flawed. Tell me where my conclusions are incorrect. I'd love to know now so that I don't continue to make a fool of myself around the nation. But I do say, when I do speak this way, it is usually very well received, because there are millions of Christians out there who understand our duty is to stand. Our duty is to be courageous. Our duty is to prove our faith. It is not to be wimpish. It's not to be cowardly. It's not to be feminized. And that's what I'm talking about there, is the feminized church, the feminized pastors. Nothing wrong with femininity if you're a female. There's a lot wrong with femininity if you're a male. Not to say men don't have a feminine side and can't cry when they need to, but really men should be standing up courageously, just as Jesus did. Jesus was afraid of nothing because he had faith in his Father. Look at what he faced in his life and the end of his life. Look what he faced. So I hope you found this little thought provoking. I hope you'll look at your own life and see what more could I be doing to save this wonderful nation, and accept the fact that this is a responsibility, a required responsibility, not an option. This isn't what maybe you do once you've got your golf score right. This is the number one priority right now in the country. If the number one duty of a Christian is to spread the gospel, the number two duty must be to preserve the liberty to spread the gospel. And that liberty is rapidly being extinguished in this land and many others. So thanks for watching. Please go to my website, trevorloudon.com. Great books and videos there. But we'll see you tomorrow on Enemies Within. Thank you.